Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the first reading we have one of the most pivotal scenes, not just in early church history, but in church history. The first of 21 ecumenical councils. The 21st was happening 50 years ago on this day. And what was it all about? It was about how we were to relate to God and how we were relate to each other. The essence of the way, the essence of our Christian life. Paul and Barnabas and others had gone up to Jerusalem to talk about how the Christians were going to relate to the Mosaic Law. There were a lot of Judaized Christians who believed that in order to be a good Christian, you first needed to be a good Jew. So you needed to keep all 613 commandments of the Old Covenant. You needed to obey all the Jewish dietary laws. You needed, if you were male, to be circumcised, etc. St. Paul used to believe that prior to meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus. St. Paul's conversion was not from a bad life to a good life, but from a life with a false notion of how to please God and become holy to a true one. And as a Pharisee, and the Judaized Christians were those with a Pharisaical mentality in the Christian life, as a Pharisee he thought he would be saved by his rigid adherence and completion of all the precepts of the Mosaic Law. We would save ourselves, in other words, by our keeping our end of the covenant by our own power. God had opened up the door, but it was totally and exclusively our action to get through the door. On the road to Damascus, Paul had a deep conversion. And then it started to flourish in his 14 years in the Arabian desert, where he began to realize we're not saved by our own actions, by our own adherence to the Mosaic Covenant. We are saved by God. He would write two letters all about this to the Romans and to the Galatians to say we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by God. We're judged by our works, we could say, but we're not saved by our works. But not everybody saw that. And so the Judaized Christians who had gone down to Antioch were creating terrible problems for the church. And so rather than just sort of put on the boxing gloves a la Mayweather and Pacquiao, they decided to go on out by the power of the Holy Spirit and discuss it and allow the Holy Spirit to solve the problem. So the whole debate was, unless you're circumcised according to Mosaic practice, you can't be saved. There was no little dissension and debate in Antioch, and so they went up. And we're going to see exactly what happened there over the course of the next couple of days. But why was this such a big deal? First is, it has everything to do with the way we relate to God. Do we allow God literally to save us? Do we allow Him to act in us? Or do we think that it's all on our shoulders? And then second, very powerfully, because of the Mosaic law and the interpretation by the Jews, there was no communion in Antioch. Paul would write inside of the Galatians that he had to oppose Peter to his face because the Jews never had anything to do with the Gentiles. The whole reason why we needed to ordain the first deacons is because the Greek widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of the bread. Why? Because even the Jewish converts to Christianity didn't want to have anything to do with them. Because the Jews would never go into a Gentile house. The Jews, if they wanted to go up to the temple, wouldn't even touch a Gentile. So how were you going to have communion in Antioch or any place else between members of the same family if the former Jews who had come to the faith wouldn't deal with the former Greeks who had come to the faith? This is what the dispute was about. And we'll see how the Holy Spirit guides them to true communion over the course of the next couple of days. But these are perennial issues. How we relate to God and how we relate to each other. Do we allow first God to love us and then, having received that love, reciprocate that love in that love, which is the point of Christianity in our relation to God? Then do we let that love really flow so that God's plan that we become as united with each other as the Father and the Son are united, so that that can transpire? In the Council of Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus promised He would send to remind us of everything He taught and to lead us to all truth, was reminding them precisely of what Jesus said in today's Gospel about the vine and the branches. This shows us how we relate to God and how we relate to others. It's one of the most important images we have, but a lot of the times we go through it too fast. We get a 7-minute homily on a Sunday, like we did, or we just sort of blitz straight through it on a daily mass. It's important that we enter into this scene because it's all about these two things. Jesus says, first, that my Father is the vine grower. The Father wants us all to be attached as branches on the same Jesus. It's the Father's will to bring us together with Jesus and united in that communion with Jesus with each other. Next thing He says, takes away every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, and every one that does He prunes so that it might bear much more fruit. I'm not a great horticulturist, maybe some of you have that background, but I do know a little bit about wine. It takes 3 years for a vine to grow. And if a vine grower doesn't regularly prune various of the branches, clip them off, all of the sap will end up being wasted and all you'll get are wild and sour grapes. You just constantly need to be pruning the energies that will be flowing through the vine so that the fruit that is born is sweet and capable. So the Father's constantly pruning us. But do we cooperate with that pruning? Those aspects of our life in which, for example, will dissipate our energies so that we don't really have what's needed in order to live in that communion with God and that communion with each other. I mean, so often, what does God need to prune? God needs to prune our attachments. God needs to prune the way we use our time. God needs to prune certain aspects of even our health so that we appreciate much more other aspects of our health. But He's constantly doing that pruning out of love so that we can, paradoxically, unite ourselves more to God and others. Jesus says that His word prunes us because His word starts to teach us the types of things where we're wasting ourselves, where we really are dissipating ourselves, that are not really going to be a fruit. It's important for us always to listen to the word of God so that it can carry out that aspect of pruning. The word of God is living and effective, capable of separating bone from marrow, can really get into the nitty-gritty and help us so that our entire life can be united with the Lord and we can cut off those things that aren't going to lead to that deeper union. And Jesus says something which is both an active and a passive verb that we have to look at in both senses. Remain in me as I remain in you. A lot of times we can approach it too actively or too passively, but it's both. In order to remain in the Lord, we first need to let him remain in us. We need to say, come, Lord, and let him do his work. But it's not exclusively passive. We then need to make the choice to remain in him. Do we make that choice really to remain in his word, or is it just kind of passing through the other ear or out through our lips? Are we really making the choice to remain in his love by the way we love each other? Are we making the choice through spiritual communions and just focusing on the reality of remaining intentionally in him when we receive? First, it's passive or receptive, but then it's very active if we're going to have the type of communion that he wishes. We can't bear fruit unless we remain in him in this way. That's a startling word. It really is. Because a lot of the times we think we need a little bit of the Lord's help, but that we are quite capable of bearing fruit on our own. The world thinks that way. The world thinks that we've got all these virtuous pagans who, outside of communion with the Lord, are doing plenty of good things. They don't realize the type of communion that they already have in the Lord by virtue of those virtues, that the virtuous acts that they're doing. But do we realize we can't do anything apart from God? When we grasp that, then it fills us with incredible thanksgiving. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. Reason why this is a promise that Jesus will make and keep is because when we're really remaining in him and his word is taking on our flesh, then we're able to pray in the name and the person of Jesus. Then we're able to want what Jesus wants, because our own sort of this worldly desires that can't be ordered to the kingdom will all have been pruned away. We've got that type of spiritual ontological communion with the Lord in which we can pray with that type of confidence, because we're praying as bride united to bridegroom, or as body to the head. And the most startling thing of all in this passage is when we are abiding in the Lord in that way, and the fruits coming out as naturally as grapes will grow in harvest time when the vine grower has done his job. By this is my Father glorified, but that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Remember the first time this passage struck me as an adult, I would have always thought that we become the Lord's disciples when we're baptized. We become the Lord's disciples when we hear his word. We become the Lord's disciples when we're seeking to follow him and live the moral life. But Jesus is saying that we will become his disciples when we have this mutual abiding in the Lord. That discipleship is not that we know his truths. Discipleship is not that extrinsically we're following in his footsteps. But to become Jesus' disciples means we're in this interior communion with him as branches on a vine in which his own love is flowing through us, producing fruit and dandum. That's what it means to be a disciple of the Lord. That's why Judas Iscariot was never a disciple. He followed the Lord on the outside, but he really wasn't following him on the inside. And that eventually became exposed. In order for us to become capable of following the Holy Spirit today, just like the early church did in the Council of Jerusalem, we need this great gift to the Lord. The Lord today gives us himself so that we may abide in him who comes onto this altar to abide in us, who gives us his word to prune us so that we might abide in him all the more and bear so much more fruit and become his real disciples in the world, capable of going out and bearing the fruit that can make all nations the Lord's disciples. As we come forward, we thank the Lord for this pruning. We thank him for this word. We ask him for the grace that we might recognize that we're saved by him, by all of this work, and that we're called to be his instruments of communion, to bring everybody else to attach themselves to the vine, which is the tree of the life, tree of life, that takes on the form of a cross, that stretches forth its branches all the way past the clouds to the heavenly Jerusalem. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.